Добро пожаловать всем, кто с нами.
Welcome to all of you that are with us online.
Добро пожаловать.
Welcome.
Итак, сегодня
so
я не
today,
буду учить, сегодня я хочу проповедовать.
I'm going to preach. And you know,
проповедь обычно, что такое проповедь?
What is a preaching? Preaching is motivates you to action.
It
pulls you out from the real things and into the supernatural. It starts making you, I mean, your brain starts thinking. Preaching is great. Sometimes the Lord takes me there. So today, I want to preach, and the message is called The Time That Gives Birth to Champions. Time That Gives Birth to Champions. Have you ever thought how champions are born, how they're made? What are they made up of? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Really, what are these great people, these champions, extraordinary people? Who are they? Why are they always so visible on our radars and books? We hear about them. We see them in sports. And we see them in the arena, political arena. We see them in the area of science. And we see them on podiums. We see them sometimes on TV. Who are these people? Where are they from? How are they created? If it was a very simple formula to create a champion, but for some reason you can only count them on your hand and your fingers, and we say, yeah, champions that are alive. To be a champion, I mean, well, you're alive is one thing, but to live this earth as a champion is a completely different thing. Quite a few people didn't make it into the ranks of champions. Why? Because they didn't finish their race or their life righteously. We can all start great. We all start great. All of us. Everything starts wonderful. What material are these individuals made up of? And I asked God a question. And you know, the answer was, I'll say like this, this message, it's been in my archive for a while, and so I just resurrected it. I needed, or I wanted to talk to you again and again about this. Who are these extraordinary, great, big people? What are they made up of? First of all, it's those that have not accepted the opinion of the majority, you understand, right? At the time when everybody says that the earth is flat and is upon the backs of three elephants, someone said, no. What elephants? You understand? Someone looked at someone's record and said, you call this running? I can run faster. And he ran so fast until this day, many years. No one can beat his record. You'll say, this is funny, oh, running. We're not talking about running here. We're talking about a heart that can achieve something. Amen? Beloved, who are these people that have not accepted the opinion of the majority? Who are these people that are not taken over by the opinion of the majority or the rules that have been placed? You know what it means to be extraordinary individual. That means to just not be under the influence of the majority. Who are these people? Where are they from? Today we'll talk about this. What circumstances have to happen so these great people will be walking the earth? You know, no one wakes up in the morning, went and brushed your teeth, and then says, wouldn't it be great if I become great tomorrow? You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen that. I have never read about it. I love this history, especially history of big people. I read it again and again, many different things. No one wakes up in the morning because they got nothing to do. How about I'll become this great, awesome bomb today, this great person? You know, something has to come before that. This isn't a sprint. We're not even running in the track. You know, this is a marathon, and the length of it is life. You understand? I am not just running in track. I'm not passing the baton and going, sitting down and resting. No, I'm in a marathon that lasts a lifetime. And for a marathon, you don't really need to run fast. You understand what a marathon is, right? You don't need to look good or to dress good so that everybody can see the way that I run. Marathon is you are preparing to run a serious race of a lifetime. And often those that run fast, the sprinters, people that run in track, they can't handle this pressure. Why? Because when I was in school, I was in the track. And I know what it is concentrating your energy, what it means just to pace yourself, to breathe correctly in sync. We were taught all these things because a marathon is something absolutely different than what you think. But right now, we're not talking about sports, we're talking about life. So, no one is waking up in the morning and says, how about I'll become this great superstar today? No, there are things that are coming before that. It doesn't happen by accident. Usually, a person in his own will does not want to do anything. He needs a push or some sort of stimulation to push him forward, propel us forward, especially our Slavic nation. We love to spend our whole lives on our rears. Our rear is the best creation, the best creation that the Lord has created in the body of man. Why is it big? Why is it big? Because I spend a lot of time on it. It's an important part of my body. Great people aren't born. I like this phrase. It's not my phrase. It's the, you know, phrase of somebody else, or some great person. They say that everybody has an opportunity to become great and big. You become a great person. And what's unique is that when the world looks at someone and says, this child came out of this family, has to achieve something great and big because his parents are great and important, but it happens completely opposite. He does not understand anything. He does not want to know anything. And at the same time, when people point fingers and say, this child, he comes out of these, look at these parents. They're like bombs. Look, they're drunks. And then out of that family, an individual comes out that is so big and great. And we say, who is this? Where is this from? So, beloved, you want to know why hard times have come upon you? Why is it you live in a hard time? Why everybody else, those people are having a great, awesome time, and I'm like an idiot, like either one thing or the other, one thing or the other. These people don't want to hang out with me. I can't bring my family together. House is in chaos. I have no money. Oh, Lord. Last testimony. Have you heard it? Praise the Lord. Everything left me. You know, often we think that this is something horrible that came into our lives. No. God wants to achieve something. It is an ingredient that makes up a champion. Listen to me, beloved. God finds people with the right heart. Number one, that you have to have in you. You don't need to be rich or super smart. You don't need to be somebody, some sort of flashy person, nor somebody who's, you know, known or child of known people. No, all you need is that right heart. Right heart. God, I want to achieve something, not just become popular and have profit for myself. No, I'm tired of these situations. I don't want to look at them any longer. And while I live around me, that will not happen. I will speak about it and do this till the end of my life. What is this? A righteous heart. Listen to me. God takes a person with the right heart. You know what he does? He takes you and places you in very unique situations, unique life. He takes you, your right heart places it into very unique life, into this life that you yourself would never choose for yourself. You'll say, God, my God, why? Listen, but God knows potential of your heart. He knows that when other will sit there quietly and think, yes, yes, sir, yes, sir, even though they hate everything that they're saying yes to, you quietly come out, leave, shut your door and leave. You know what? And say, you know what? You can sit here and speak your nonsense, what you want. You know what? when you exit, you just kind of look at them and leave. And they'll say, first of all, that you're crazy. Oh, look, he doesn't resemble everybody. Oh, that's the first step, life. Step number one, to becoming someone.
Step to
place where you become someone. Someone has... I mean, number one, the majority of the surroundings do not accept you. Number one, usually champions are not accepted. They're being destroyed. But listen to this. The weak of hearts, they bend and break. But the strong of hearts, it gives them more strength. And they say, what? You told me that I can't make it, and now you're telling me all that I can't make it? Now I have so much stamina. It's going to work. I know it. Beloved, listen. There are people here that have battled, or they still battle for their life. You don't necessarily need to be a champion, beloved. Some are just born to be champions in their family, to have a normal family. You know that in our times, this is very rare. Listen to me very carefully. By consulting masses of people, by being a pastor for many years, by moving different countries, communicating masses of people, I know that I'm not talking about the world here. I'm talking about Christianity. Powerful, successful, blessed families, this is so rare in our days. For majority, it's just lies, fakes, just barely making it, you know, trying, you know, arguing and pretending at the same time. It's all good. I know what I'm saying here. So, sometimes you need to become a champion in your family and just finish your marathon and say, this is what the Lord entrusted me with, and I am victorious. My children grew up in a normal house. Do you know how rare that is for children to grow up in a normal household? Listen. God takes an individual with the right heart, places him in a very unique time. Then he adds very unique ingredients. Should I call them out to you? I will name them. These ingredients that by putting them together with you, something's supposed to happen. It's like in the kitchen when women, mothers, when they prepare food and they take... and start cooking something. At the end, something happens, right? They have a product. First, it was like a pile of things, and at the end of it all, it's just a great pot of borscht. Now, if it wasn't combined and cooked this way, I'd never eat it. But all these ingredients together make up a wonderful product. You understand? And this is what God does. Sometimes the most crazy, unique ingredients make up one of the most unique people. I'm not talking about that you're going to have a new year, that you're going to be some sort of sin. No, I'm saying that something has to be added into your heart, and your heart has to start battling and work out some sort of product. You know, the ingredients are added. Pain, destruction, poverty, fear, discouragement, downfalls. And on and on and on. I could keep on going. The list is long. Bankruptcy. Betrayal. And you don't understand God. Why? And you look at the ingredient, but God says, you don't get it. I am not looking at the ingredients here. I'm looking at the end product, what's going to come out of it all. You know that Job, he was a normal guy. God said, I want this borscht even better. I am going to make it better. It's already good. Part of borscht. Job is a nice guy. Why would we touch him? God says, no. We will add some ingredients. Some say, God doesn't do this. You don't even know what God can do. God can do everything and surprise you. He can even allow Satan to roam the earth for a certain amount of time. God, Satan is all over the place. And God says, you know what? He is walking according to my will. Don't worry, God's got it all under control. Satan, he's an ingredient that we need, by the way. You understand, right? Satan was needed by Jesus, so he would tempt him in the wilderness to bring into fulfillment the salvation of humanity. Satan was involved in it. He was role number one. He was involved in the salvation of the whole humanity. He was involved. God doesn't look at these things. He looks at these ingredients, and sometimes the most horrible things, Job, will pull out the most greatest things out of you. You say, I don't want fear. I don't want pain. Of course you don't want any of that stuff. Tell me, what do we really want anyway? We are those individuals that have to find comfort and just this comforting corner somewhere and just stay warm there. This is our being. Tell me, where is your favorite corner ever? Tell me, I give you 5 years, you will be covered by mold. This is where it's going to be. Everything will be at the hand reach. There's something you can, arms reach, where you could reach everything. Cup of coffee, did you check it? Is the cup clean? How long have you been pouring coffee in there? Oh Lord, I don't need to wash this, I need to sanitize this. There's a civilization growing in that cup.
Yeah,
it's not even mold, it's civilization. Beloved, what am I saying here? I'm saying that we are those individuals that don't like discomfort. We do everything possible to lay in our bed and to have everything on our side table. Who has everything on their side table next to the bed? You don't even need to get up. You could spend your whole time in bed because everything is on your side table. Beginning with your favorite book, finishing up with God only knows what. Remote control to your TV. Look. He adds very unique ingredients and then turns on the mix. And then the mixer starts blending everything and it starts making noises. No, no! While you were in some sort of religious church, nothing was bothering me. Flies were not even flying around. It was so peaceful. I came, went through encounter, and it all started. What started is, you know, you're being mixed here. Blended. You're in the right pot here. Some, of course, cannot handle it. They think that these are attacks of the devil and then they leave. But you leave from the very, very important part of your life, that the, what Lord has prepared for your life. I don't believe that God has accidents. I've told you this before, that theory of your own free will does not exist. Remember, I told you that before. Did I tell you? I'll tell you. I think I told it to my guys. It's our free will, free will. We don't have free will. What do you mean? Yes, I have free will. I can make decisions. No. The decision to choose. Listen to me very carefully. Where is this decision or choice is based upon? It's based upon information. You understand me, right? Information. Decision is based upon information. As much information you have more choices. In other words, two cards, out of these two cards, you have decision to make. Five cards, there's more choices. 200 now, you have even more choices. The decision comes out of the information. Nobody argues with that. If there's no information, there's no choice. Well, if you had just bologna, so then just eat your bologna. Choice. Yes, and you can just drink the cider and you could use that cheap pastry. Do you remember our choices in the supermarkets back in Russia? Now it's way better. You know, I've seen them. Nobody can buy anything there. It's very expensive, but everything is there. I was there. I saw it. I come there and I'm thinking, what is this? There's a small cart like that. And these ladies are walking around. And I'm thinking, with us, we have, you know, you have a grown-up cart and the kids take little carts. And so mom shops and the baby pretending to shop. And for real, they look like children carts, if not smaller. And they're shopping in those carts. We come there and we say, you know what? We need to buy some food. We're hungry. I said, listen, how many cards do we need? Five? And we started getting groceries. I look and I see that there's a security guy. He went and stood by the door. Didn't know there was a security guy. He's standing by the exit door. He's standing like these, couple of guys, and they're watching us. They're watching us. And we're walking. I'm looking at them. Why is he looking at me? Am I going to steal this? Have you seen our carts? I can put all of your tellers and people who work up front. I'll put them in those carts. And we shopped. They were looking at us like we can't handle the price or whatever. We handled it. What am I saying here? I'm saying about... I'm speaking about decisions. Small, amount of choices to make, then that's a decision. There's a lot more product, more choices. So our decision is based upon information. Amen? Information is based on some sort of source. And this is how it works. And because you're not the source, you don't have your own free will to choose. You understand what I'm saying? Correct? So, this is the formula. The one that is the source of your information is the Lord of your decision or choice. You understand the formula? Like the, clear day. You see it, right? I'm serious. It's like in the supermarket. You say, I have a will. No, you have free will to buy whatever is there, but who placed it on those shelves? Your free choice means I want this and I do this. No, you do it on the parameters of your instinct, just like an ant. There's our ant house, and this is our stick. This is a fly that I pick up. It's parameters of instinct. And if you are a wise individual, you'll understand that there are two sources of information, two lords. There's darkness and there's light, and everything that you've painted right here in your head is illusion. There is no choice. There is choice. God that and everything in him, or darkness and everything in the darkness. Understand? So let's move on. Champions. I just got this thought. Champions. Who are these people? God blends everything. He blends all these ingredients and what you don't want in there. You want money. What comes? The bill comes. You want a new car, but your old one is breaking right and left. Now you have to invest that money that you're collecting to purchase a new one. I can go on and on and on. Why am I saying this? Because I went through it myself, and I understand you absolutely. And the process does not end. God is perfecting us. Job was a great person, yes, but the ingredients were added in. Ingredient, like death. How, God, how is that possible? Children died. Read your Bible. Understand, right? It's okay. My daughter's feeling good, I guess. You understand, right? He takes ingredient like death and adds it in. People come to him and tell him, you know, we're the only one that left after all this horror that you went through. And we are here to tell you that you're by yourself. Can you imagine what ingredient was added into the heart of Job? Ingredient that he did not know, didn't see, didn't even believe that it could possibly happen. This is why, beloved, I want to tell you this one thing. God creates everything that he wants. He doesn't say that he's some sort of horrible monster. No. Because one step, he saves one that you can't even understand that can be saved, because those children were heading in the right directions and they needed to be stopped right now. And with that same ingredient, he touches your heart that produces some sort of product that later on spreads out through the whole earth, touches the lives of millions. And to this day, this ingredient, Job, even touches us. You understand, right? This is why it says, brothers, be of good cheer when you go through what? Different temptations and trials. Because when you mix all of this together, that will create something wonderful in you. This is my translation. You understand, right? This is why with joy and gladness, because you were lacking this ingredient, you never knew what it means to be betrayed, because you were never ever to be betrayed. And when it came into your life, you say, oh, we think it's something horrible, but this is this product that... What are you going to say right now, Job? Are you going to curse God, or are you going to let this ingredient break everything that is unclean in you? Place you on your knees and say, God gave and He takes away. Let the name of the Lord be blessed. And God says, wow, this individual is going to receive twice as much that he ever dreamed about. Beloved, listen to me. You cannot pass this by, but you can make a decision what to say to God. That is your will and your right. Who are these champions? These are the people that when something happens in them, they have wisdom not to curse, but to acknowledge that this already happened. Understand that nothing can be done about it. There is no turning back. You cannot bring back children, Job. So you have to understand that something right now has to happen in your heart. Will you let it happen? Will you let God work? A lot of you go through this right now. There are masses of people that are listening to us, and they write us, and they say, everything is going against me. Of course. Right now, you're in a blender. You are in a blender of God. And into this blender, nothing goes in there by accident. Remember that.
When
something horrible came, know that it is allowed because we're not those people that can see in the future completely and what this ingredient will produce in us. For a time, we have pain. But for eternity, we have victory. For time, there's tears. But in fraternity, there's greatness. What is that? This is God. This is God. That just gives you an opportunity. Will you want to live this simple life by being an individual somewhere in a corner covered in mold? It doesn't need anything. Just living, existing by yourself, for yourself. Died, didn't take anything for yourself. I don't want to live like that. Lord, take me. Lord, David was praying to the Lord. He said, test my heart, test my very being, my core, and check if I'm not on a dangerous path. You understand what it is? David was saying, God, check me. Maybe something has been added into me that shouldn't be there. Believe me. Sometimes some people, they think comfort is from God. Beloved, quite often comfort equals death, and often battle for life. Battle to survive, the most hardest raises up something great and big in you. Why? You know, the very first years when I was, when I was born in Ukraine, my mother was working and she had two jobs. Everything was on my shoulders. I'm not crying about it. I thank God for it because God let me feel this responsibility. It was an ingredient that was added into me. Nobody was there around me to protect me or to stand up for me. Quite a few of you went through this. Masses of people went through this. I have friends that went through this as well. No one is there. And these ingredients from the very childhood that have been added into you, and you have been left alone to survive. And God sees from the very childhood. We don't see our hearts, but God does see them, and He places us into these circumstances. For someone, God placed their spirit into a sick body. You're not sick, but your body is sick. Your spirit is perfect. You understand me, right? Someone's spirit has been placed into a body that lacks something or pain, and you think that this is lack. This is an ingredient that makes you into a champion. Oh, I know this ingredient. This ingredient does not let you sleep, live, or think. You hate it. And for me, any opportunity, you pray for it to leave you. I know it. You keep on smiling. I'm the same way. I'm speaking about me here. I know, but this ingredient, but in the times where it was, something was happening, I said, God, this is it. This thing trained me to be this way. You understand me, right? Listen. When this happens, people often say, oh, horrible times came. It's not a horrible time. It's time that will give birth to great and beautiful people. And afterwards, you have choice either to cry about it, mope about it, just curse everything out and everyone who's around you and the whole earth stands on. You know what? Just lock yourself in the house and mumble and grumble. Yes, I was in that church. Blah, 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 blah. You were given an opportunity, a chance to become something. And you covered yourself, you just locked yourself in yourself and said, don't touch me, let me cry, nobody needs me. And often you'll find people that are like you and you'll surround yourself with them because misery loves company. You know, it kind of, it's not that fun to be miserable by yourself, you need company, usually someone to mope around with you. No one told me, hello, brother, when I entered into that church, and God did that on purpose. He made you invisible to add that ingredient into your heart. And here, this all came out. No one said, hello. What? People went to death for Christ. What did we turn into, church? No one saw me. I bought a new shirt. Nobody needs me. I'm walking around here. And the devil says, of course, nobody needs you. You're just existing here. That's it, I'm leaving. What? God added this ingredient. You have two chances, two things, two options. You either become a champion or you're going to be a weakly, cry about it and leave. But God gives you a chance here. It's not, you know, God is throwing you a challenge here. Are you going to accept it? You think, oh, you know, when we see champions, we see champions that are with a smile. They go through the finish line and this, you know, the ribbon, they cross the line. Or on a, you know, when they're doing the bicycle sports and they raise their arms when they're on the bicycles, or, you know, or with medals and everybody's taking pictures. Sometimes, you know, there are also girls with flowers around. Everybody sees that, the victory. No one sees this. I can do that for a while. I go to the gym. I can do pull-ups, too. You understand? And this ingredient of pain is added into your body so that you work out not just your muscles, but a heart of a champion. Everything that comes into your life works for one thing, even if you lost an arm, even if you lost an eye or part of your body. It was meant by God to raise up quality in you, a right heart. You understand me? No one sees horror, pain, sweat, blood. No one sees that you're about a millimeter away from falling and just leaving everything. No one sees that. No one saw your dislocated shoulders. No one saw bruises or sleepless nights. Everybody saw this victory. And when we see these photographs, we say, I want to do that too. And that's it. You're preparing a ribbon for yourself. And there's a photographer at the finish line as well. You understand? This is a great picture of our life. We don't want pain. We don't want any of this horror. We sit there and we grumble and mumble. I want to look at this. It's him. Have you ever looked at his fruit? Have you looked how many destinies have been changed through his life? Have you seen this as a bigger picture? You never left the hole that you buried yourself in, and you grumbled from there. Calm down. When I read the history of humanity, you know, not just history that's written in the Bible. I am shocked by the Bible, by the stories that are in there. But just looking at regular people, presidents, athletes, doctors, scientists, and you read and you're shocked that this discovery cost him everything for us to simply use this and that. He invested his whole life into that. Beloved, you know, let's remember Gideon. You know that God didn't just come to him just by accident or simply just told him, I greet you, men of power. God does not lie. He saw something in him that nobody else saw. Do you know why God came to Gideon when he was in hiding in the cave and working with wheat? He saw something in him that no one else had. Gideon was placed into the most horrible situation that Israel could possibly be in that time. Israel was being eaten alive, everything possible. The Jewish people were crying out. The Bible says that it was one of the horrific times for the Israel. They would steal the best. Just destroy the people, and that was done right and left. There were barely any people left. But it says that the enemies of the Jewish people were multitudes. They couldn't even count. It says that like it was if it was locusts, they would come and eat everything alive. The people would barely survive after attacks. And this is the time of the most horrible, hard time. There was this young guy that was hiding in the cave, and God is choosing him just to, and then afterwards he creates him to something big and powerful. Let's read about it. I love this story. Let's read it. So Judges 6:11. Look, this is preaching today. Receive something into your spirit right now. This word is for those that are going through, wilderness, through pain, through horrible things. It's okay. You're in a blender. Do not complain. Cover the cap on the blender and just relax and go with the flow. Judges 6:11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belongs to Josh the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon was beating wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of fearless courage." This was probably like a joke for Gideon. It was just like picking on him. Imagine it's like coming up to someone, somebody who's poor and hungry, and say, "Hello, supermodel." Kind of like that. Or you come to Obama and says, "Hello, millionaire." You understand? It's kind of insulting here. What? This is how it looked. Gideon, what? You mighty man of courage? Fearless courage, what? A reaction of Gideon. Verse 13, Gideon said to him, "Oh, sir, if the Lord is with us, why is all this befallen us? Why all this has befallen us? Why all this is happening to raise up an individual that will put an end to all this horror?" You understand? You understand that the level of pain has to achieve a certain level. You know, this message is called "Time That Gives Birth to Champions," not people, time. We come into this time where there are two categories, and either people are in the slavery under pressure of the structure, they're just destroyed by everything around them, or that will push out those individuals that we know will hear about them and people will read about them. They will raise up. These churches will rise up. True churches will rise up. What we see around us, you can count it on your one hand and call it a church. Everything else? You understand me, right? I know what I'm saying here. Oh, he's speaking bad about us. No. I'm speaking about dead churches. I'm not talking about you. If you attach yourself, if that's what you think you are, then that's who you are. You're the one who's saying it. Look. And Gideon said to him, "Oh, sir, if the Lord is with us, why is all this befallen us? And where are all his wondrous works of which our fathers told us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from the Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" Gideon said to him, "Oh Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Behold, my clan is the poorest in Manasseh." You hear the ingredient, right? You hear it. You hear the ingredients? You know why? You know why the people of Israel chose Saul? into kings. Saul, look, he is taller than everybody else. Look at him. He is so handsome, this popular individual. Let's choose him into president. Because he is popular. Everybody knows him. Look how beautiful he is. God says, you want that? Okay, take it. Where's our president? Our president is hiding in the chicken coop. Take him and anoint him into kings. And they, where is he? And the president is hiding somewhere, you know, in the chicken coop. I'm not the king, I'm not the president. You're choosing that? God says, wait, couple of years. Just wait, there's this young guy. His name is David. I'm training him right now, personally. Wait. Oh, you want it right now? This is what I can give you right now. This is how it is with some people. God, I want it right now. I need my husband now. God's like, what? Wait, no! Here you go. What I can, this is what I give you at the moment. This is it. There's nothing ready at the moment. This is half ready, this thing right here. That's it, you're gonna get married. Wait a little bit. No! Look, I got a wrinkle. No, I gotta get married now. Relax, girls. When your time will come, you know, your men will love you without makeup. They'll love you even without makeup. So quiet all of a sudden. I've been married for 17 years. I know what that is.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus.
It's all good. Keep on breathing. Probably going to get in trouble after this. No, I'm not. You know, there's this joke. Someone has to rule in the house, and it has to be she. One she. Back into the message. You want the king? Here's your king. You want a husband? Here you go. God, but you gave this to me. Yes, I gave it to you at that moment where you were just asking for it. Let him bring the right things into your life at the right time. A person that will love you, really. Listen. So, look at the ingredients that were placed into the life of Gideon. And Gideon starts speaking these ingredients like we do. Who am I, Lord? Look at me. I can't speak. I can't put words together. And start making up excuses right and left. And I sweat all the time. Oh, these cameras, the microphone. Oh, Lord have mercy. I haven't slept for two nights. I'm just thinking about it. I needed to speak for 3 minutes. You had to testify for 3 minutes. You didn't sleep for two nights. Relax. I wrote everything down, too, on the paper. Third piece of paper. Fourth. You see, these ingredients cannot make up champions, but apparently they can. Look. The Lord turned to him and said, go into the smite and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Gideon said to him, O Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Behold, my clan is the poorest Manasseh. Like that has to do with anything. Apparently it does. That's an ingredient. I am the poorest. Explain to everybody. No one is looking at us. Look, they look at maybe Judah or the other clan, but look at us. We're the smallest and the poorest. And I am the least in my father's house. It can't be more screwed up than this. There is a nobody, and then the one who's a nobody called this guy nobody. You understand that? It says, the poor call me poor. That's a level. That's a serious level. When the poor call me poor. Oh, boy. He says, the small call me small. The nobodies call me nobodies. This is a level. The Lord says, relax. These are my ingredients. So that you wouldn't think much about yourself. But at the right time, I will place you into this pedestal where these ingredients will serve for the better. And this is why God needs these ingredients to do everything. with you. You understand, right? For you, while you depend on yourself, you can't do much. God, for instance, Moses to talk great will make you mumbling. You'll have some sort of speech defect. What is that? What was wrong with him? Was he? Did he have a lisp? What was happening? Did he have a lisp? I don't know what was happening with his speech. I'm not sure how it worked, but apparently it wasn't cool. So, you understand that. Can you imagine? God chose that individual that saved all of Israel. In other words, a whole nation. He saved the whole nation. He could barely speak. Awesome ingredient, right? What am I telling you right now? Your bald spot has nothing to do with your call in God. The fact that you're barren has nothing to do with call of God, because you're not so well educated has nothing to do with God. Because you make mistakes when you write, that means nothing.
All of those are ingredients to give you the understanding that you can't have everything. You are not the ruler of your destiny. God is. Give Him what you have into His hands. Let God use you. Well, God, you want this? Well, take it. I tried it all. Nothing happens. Look. My family is the poorest. I'm the youngest. And God said, I will be with you.
Сейчас духовные схватки. Именно в тяжелые времена она рождает чемпиона. Вы знаете, что мы сейчас живем в одной из самых переломных.
You know, right now we live in the hardest times of Christianity. Right now,
все, на что ставили надежды,
all,
умерло. И еще толпы
that hopes were built on got ruined.
Мы живем сейчас именно в
we live
время,
right now in a time
старое будет
where everything that is
тебя.
Old. Will reject you.
It
makes you a champion.
Martin Luther,
you know who he is? You know who made him Martin Luther? The Pope. Somebody understand? If the Pope listened to Martin Luther, all of the teachings that he gave him, everything he was explaining to him, and he would change his teaching. And, but they didn't accept his teaching because they would lose a lot of profit. Because you have to look a certain way and present yourself in a certain way to be accepted. And he made a step to the side. The system that rejected you will create you. You don't understand why God put you in, for example, Pentecostal church or a Baptist or charismatics. You don't understand. He put you there so that system rejects you, rejects the champion. Beforehand, you were no one. No one gave you testimonies or poems, because through these poems you tried to preach, and the pastor said, no.
Abort!
We're aborting you. One, two, and battles, and they reject. And they rejected by then already an animal. Have you seen those who got rejected or excommunicated from the church? You know, there is a saying, they took me away from the church. And you look at this person and you say, oh, see, he already has the first ingredient. You're already not like you were before. Second ingredient, you don't have to compromise or into the mindset of everybody else around you. Whatever the community says, the individual will reject, because he will say, this doesn't work, that doesn't work. But while everybody else is saying the opposite of him. So at this time, it would be easy to go into your comfort zone and reject everybody else. Look. We live in one of the hardest times, not only for people, but also for the church. Right now, champions of God need to arise. And I say, we live in a time where champions of God will 100% rise up. You know, we don't need to. Everybody's saying, arise, arise, arise. You will not have a chance to not arise. Because we live at a time that will birth champions. You will not have the desire. You will just come out and be it. Go and do. We're born at a time where you only have two options. You're either with him or you're not. Is your God alive or not? Do not stand up for the old. God said, I create new, everything new. God never, I always noticed that except for the life of the person, he doesn't restore anything old. Even the Old Testament, he didn't follow. He didn't follow, meaning that we're updating. And with his own hands, he ripped the curtain that he himself put up. How I love God. Why? Because he does everything he pleases. Everything he pleases. He takes an ordinary, regular person and creates something amazing, the champion out of him. He doesn't need people to vote for him or to wait for support from everyone. When God selects, all of the hands, all the votes will go against you, except for like maybe one. God is not a Democrat. God is just what I please, I do. He says, you don't even know what is just and what is not for you to judge. Your human judgment is complete nonsense because we only see a certain part. He's Alpha and Omega. He sees it all complete. He knows what this thing will produce in you. I like my God. I love my God. Why? Exactly because of this function. Because he does what he pleases, whatever he pleases. And everything that we need is to walk by in front of his face, to love him, to please only him, to enjoy only him, to seek only him, to be with only him. And you will see what will happen to you. You don't need a person. You don't need me or another anointed pastor. This is all pitiful because we cannot anoint you. We cannot. We're very limited. There's no point to that. But when God anoints you, and I will tell you, you'll get it all. Just like David. Everything was against him, as we know. Even Goliath was laughing at him. But God voted for him. And that is the most dangerous. You say, right now, like never before, it's hardest time, without understanding that right now we're in a spiritual warfare. You know, those that inherit the glory is the generation that pays the price. And I will say very unique moment, and I will try to wrap up. God opened up a very unique thing to me when I was very intimate with him some time ago. And I started to pray and pray about new movement of God. You know, I saw pictures, unique pictures, and I at first couldn't understand why I'm seeing them. But then God explained, I started seeing our great-grandfathers or great-grandparents, even though they don't understand much about life, but they were real Christians. You know, some of them were really in jail for Christ, not just because they were hooligans, but because of Christ, exactly. And you know, I saw these pictures of these people who paid the price, especially the Slavic nation, Slavic generation. You know, I love Americans and American people. These people are right after my nation, you know, of the people that I love. But they always experience the waves of Reformation, Revolution. generation. It, Americans from the 50s, 40s years, they have experienced miracles of God. Just read the history. And they say, sensation? Sensation, the sensation is 60 years already. What we have or experience or other things happen, trances and all of this have happened before already. My dear ones, we have to understand in front of me these pictures were of these people. We're here because we understand that we have freedom here, life here. But sometimes this freedom slumbers. But secondhand, I saw our Slavic nation that was destroyed by communism and with demons and just that was killing our people in jails and prisons. Our great-grandfathers, and some of them truly, really walked and died for the name of God, and I was praying, and I got this thirst and this envy of this generation that will have a reformation on a national level. And I thought I would just be talking to God, and that's it. But I had this envy, and I felt like this veil was on me, and I looked around me was the veil of judgment of God in the Spirit, and I walked around my room in this veil of judgment, and I said, I demand great revelation on a national level for my generation. And God said, son, pray. Generations have paid the price, and but it has not been completed. I saw the blood that flowed, the Slavic blood that flowed, that cried out, and God said, your whole nation has to start new church to understand this revelation, to understand the time of revelation and reformation, to walk in the veil of the judgment of God, and to demand and corrupt and ruin the spirit of this world, and demand the movement of God on the basis of our nation was has died because of this. We demand a reformation of God in our land. Nothing concerns me if whoever wants it or not. I know that a great people are arising that will one day say, we hunger and demand reformation, but the spirit of the world will not tolerate that. We hold the key. We need to desire this. And when I was praying, God said, son, if you only knew how many people I call to pray for this, that I awaken to pray for this, and many of you know, and you know that in your spirit something clicked because you know what this means from God. When this hit me, it completely knocked me off my feet. He said, son, they paid the price. The next generation has paid the price, and the next generation pay the price, but who will demand a movement? And when the Holy Spirit was praying, he said, son, don't ask for little things, for flame, for little sparks. Ask for a lot. Ask for your inheritance, the awakening of the nation. Just like before there was a movement of churches, we will have the same. We demand like judgment, like judges put on this earth by God. We demand the movement of God on a national level. And this desire is God's. Does somebody understand? Oh, dear ones, I'm not just saying this today. This is the cry of my heart, of my soul, of my being, of my person. reformation on a national level, movement of God on a national level. And I'm telling you, releasing this word for all of you to pray for this, to pray for the movement of God, for His glory on the national level. And do not demand less than what was stolen by the enemy from all these years. Otherwise, this is not just. What is just is to give back all that was stolen and give back seven times,
or
the thief will give seven times more. You know why God allowed a nation to pour blood? So we can collect the fruits of that. Yes, they died for Christ and they will be rewarded, but we have to carry the fire. Many of us are not called to die. We are called to live in His glory, to carry His glory, to say His glory, speak it. And when you start praying this prayer, you will start seeing that you will obtain this spirit of envy. And when I was praying, I felt this. I never prayed like this before. Something inside of me was just yelling and crying out from the bottom of my spirit. Not just this, you know, surface prayer for everybody. No, not this kind of prayer. From the Spirit. You know what I felt? Like the Spirit, like this prayer was in some ingredients, was hidden somewhere for many, many years. And this ancient prayer started pouring out of me through my voice. It started coming out. And I said, God, I am your channel. Speak through me. And now, our generation will be saved. Spirit of drugs will stop, and alcoholism, they will stop. And more importantly, the religious spirit will fall before God. Amen. And it will let go of our generation. That's not a church. That is fraud. That's lies and copies. We desire the fire of God. We desire fire of God. We're not settling for anything less. We're not settling. And even the devil, don't even try to make a bribe with God, because we demand more. You know how many times I have heard from prophets who came to us, that the biggest awakenings have to come from Russia. Americans are telling us this, and they all know each other. And our team knows this, that they come and talk to us, and you know that God told us that your generation, your nation. Why? Because they all see in every single one of us the blood of the ones who died. You know that no other nation, like the Slavic nation, how much blood was shed for the name of destroying of religion. The spirit of communism was also part of this. You know why one of the biggest revivals will happen in Germany? Why? Because there was Hitler. And pay attention, where all of these tyrants were, all of these nations have to arise for the new, and we demand for the earthquake of heaven on earth, and we demand His fire here, and we demand millions of saved ones. We demand it because this is justice of God. He waits for the judges, for the individuals who are not just going to come and fix their life up a little bit, just a little bit, and now I'm okay. And they go back to watching their sitcoms or their movies or their computers. No. God is rising up a generation that says, no, we hunger for more. We, exactly us and nobody else, we paid enough price. I'm already on this earth, even though I'm not 40 yet, I already paid enough and tolerated enough from there. Many of you know what I'm saying because you're going through it as well. But my dear ones, the blood of our great grand ancestors will call out for justice. Who will start praying for justice? Devil, you know, conceals this and he distracts you and deceives you. Here is a car for you. Here is a house for you. Don't remember. But God walks with this mantle of judgment and asks, who will want this? Who will pray for this generation? Who will start to demand the movement of God on that level that the people of God were being destroyed? And I said, that was me. And right now, that is my prayer. This prayer is for many years, but now it is accelerating and becomes more intensive because I'm understanding who we are right now. Reformation is inevitable. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Who will be in it? That's your choice. I will definitely be there. That's my dream. That's my life. All these attacks, it's pitiful. Listen, I am ready to die for Jesus Christ, and I'm not joking. These are words from the heart. Why? Because I know. Because I was with Christ. I was in the Spirit. I know what it is like to be with Him. And when you say, put a pistol to me and say, I will kill you, and I will accept that because what I have better, something that awaits me. I am not afraid of death at all. Even when you encounter God a little bit, you will not be afraid of it either. Relax. We're not supposed to be afraid of anything in this world ever. In love, there is no fear. It just doesn't exist. To die means to be with Him. It means to take off your old clothes and put on new ones, to be with Him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, something. This keeps flowing. I'm a little passionate. When I was praying, I saw the envy and jealousy of God that was in me, like thousands of voices were screaming from my lips in this prayer. These thousands of voices and are waiting who to use blood that was shed on this earth. It's waiting for the lips, the prayer of someone who will give out this prayer. This is spiritual stuff. This is for mature people. For those who want to see something bigger in their life than just the mowed lawn in their backyard. I believe that right now those who live on earth are going to be the ones who will carry this greatness of God. Because of what has been paid by the bloodshed on this earth before. God waits those who will stand in intercession and not move until God's glory comes down on our nation. What devil will try to do? He will try to distract the lives of the judges. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I want you to understand how devil acts. When God finds a judge and he puts him to intercede against the spiritual world, the devil tries to bribe these judges. What does this mean? What are you lacking, judge? And you truly, really do lack something. Some people just really need a house. You're just really tired of living in an apartment that has all these issues. You really do need a house. And the devil will try to bribe you. Oh, you need a new car? Here you go. You don't have friends? Here you go, full house of friends. What else do you not need? You need a job. What do you need? And I will warn you ahead of time. Do not compromise. Do not budge for any of these. Because this bloodshed was by thousands, and it is still waiting for the individuals, and it calls out for justice. We don't need to do anything. All we need to do is just surrender ourselves and give legal right to move in our territory. He's waiting for this. It is like when you have three, four generations back, Somebody paid for everything. Paid for everything. All you have inheritance, all you have to do is come and claim it. That's exactly the same analogy here. This bloodshed was not just paid by Jesus, but also by our nation. And I know that those who understand, who just understood what I said, are already praying for this. Because this is not my sermons, this is not my prayers. All I did is I let him speak through me. Moses was raised by God when bloodshed was crying out around him, when Israelites were dying on their dead bodies. Israel was being built. This generation was artificially grown. Devil was just destroying them completely until the point where the bloodshed started calling out and crying out. Even right now, church, if we discern this time, exactly where the church needs to arise, this understanding, this will come into the generation that needs to move. Even not coming to this prayer or to this sermon, if this needs to be released, with even with the thousands that listen to us, let God speak through you, and you will see what will happen. Gideon arose in one of the worst times of their times. Daniel went through, also rose up in the hardest time of Israelites. They all claimed their position until they walked into what God called them to do. Just like there was a national calling of Christians, we will not budge until we see prosperity of Christ through our nations. In order for this to happen, the champions need to arise. In order for this to happen, God will not use something that cannot be used. He rises up, nourishes these people with the system and the structure for this. Religious comes against this. And the spirit of this world to try to corrupt it, what God is rising up, because he knows that true judges are arising, individuals who put on this veil and say, we demand justice for the bloodshed of our ancestors. And we do not need to be bribed. We are not settling for less. We will not give up until we receive. And you will see how this prayer arises, leaders and pastors and movement and glory of God and miracles and movement of God there, there, and there, everywhere. Why? Because somebody is praying and is letting God use them. A generation needs to arise that will call for the glory of God on this earth. His glory, the boat of his glory, has been in the hands of the enemy long enough. Somebody has to arise and say, we take it back. Enough for devil to have rule over our generations. How these drugs, how are they still obtaining people? We need judges to arise. Amen. Let's get up. And right now we will pray exactly this prayer, church. Exactly this prayer. Call God. And I will say, come up front, come up front. This prayer is very important for me. Come up front. Take a position. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let this prayer flow from your spirit. Ask him to raise up the judges who will demand the Reformation, the placement of
ковчега в скинию.
Church.
Бог, нам абсолютно все равно, God, чем занимается мертвая церковь.
About what мы the dead church is doing. We are those that see it. That be in here, and we put on this veil of judgment of God, and we judge the devil, we judge the spirit of this world, we judge the devil, we judge the spirit of religious that thousands and thousands, millions of people shed the blood for this. We ask. Rejuvenation. We demand a movement of God on this level, everywhere where our nation is. We ask. We demand, we hunger the movement of God. The movement of God. We judge the acts of the enemy, and we let the bloodshed speak through us. Reformation is inevitable. Reformation is inevitable. Ask him. Stand. And be his tool, his instrument. Be his judge. Put off this veil and judge the devil. It doesn't matter what you've done. Right now you are his. The blood is shed. And it is demanding for justice. It is demanding for movement. It is demanding the glory of God. The movement of God. The movement. Right now, we hunger for seven times more, for new ones to arrive, millions to be saved. Arise, the children, wake up, the children. Prophets are rising. Prophets of the new time that will demand justice of God. God, we ask, give our generation. Arise, raise up the champion. God, speak through me. As the movement of God on a national level, we ask for the movement of God on a national level. The spirit of this world, religious, will not tolerate champions.
Don't let it, Sakista! The spirit of the world will fall on the knees in front of God.
Destroy the
of the enemies that are holding back the children of God, the people of God.
We ruin
the plans of the enemy that holds back the church. The blood will cry out. The blood will cry out for justice. You are the judge of God. Speak. The heaven will hear this prayer. Say, speak. We demand movement of God. Movement of God.
Мы требуем движения Бога. Мы просим, двигайся, Бог. Мы требуем справедливости.